It's a busy, busy time in the financial markets. The S&P 500, as we speak, is at an all-time historic record high. The number on the S&P 500, 2,316. The number on the Dow, 20,269. Now, if you're a Money Talk regular, you know that here on the Starship Money Talk, we favor using the S&P 500 as the measuring tool for the market. Now, why is that? There's a really, really good reason, and you should know that reason. The reason is because the S&P 500 index, which is comprised essentially of the 500 largest companies in the USA, is an index that contains large cap and, to some degree, large mid-cap, if you will, companies that are about to break into the large cap. Now, it is not an index that is dominated by mid-cap and small-cap. It's an index dominated by large companies, as measured by their market capitalization, and their market capitalization is simply derived from the product of the number of shares they have outstanding times the share price. And that's easy to calculate. A simple example, if you had a small company with 10 million shares outstanding at a price of $10, the market cap would be 10 million times 10, or $100 million. Of course, we're talking about much larger companies when we're talking about the S&P 500 index. But in addition to the fact that the index contains 500 of essentially the largest companies in the USA, the index is also market-weighted. Market-weighted is a really big deal because market-weighted means your impact on changes in the index is measured by the size of your company. Therefore, if you have a one-point move in a gigantic company, a company with a huge market capitalization, such as, for example, Microsoft, measured in hundreds of billions of dollars in market cap, then that's much more important to the index movement than a one-point change in company number 500, let us say, in size. So market capitalization weighting is a big deal, and it applies to the S&P 500 index. I also might point out it applies to an even broader index, which is the total stock market index. This is the problem with the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Now, I'm not going to bash the Dow because fact is the tradition that is baked into tracking the Dow Jones Industrial Average is so deep. It's one of the deepest traditions that I can think of in the canyons of Wall Street. And therefore, we continue to observe, to track, if you will, the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And that's okay, too, because the Dow Jones Industrial Average has a way, way longer history than the S&P 500 Index. That's very important, especially when you go back to looking at what happened in the crash of 1929 when the Dow Jones Industrial Average declined 89%. Now, that's a lot. For example, if the index were at 100 and it declined 89%, it would be at 11. If the index were at 1,000 and it declined 89%, it would be 110. That's a lot. Well, we need to know about market history, and that's why the Dow Jones Industrial Average remains relevant today. I mean, if you were to say, come on, give me a good reason, a serious reason, just give me one reason. I mean, to paraphrase that great song, is that Lady Gaga? That was Lady Gaga at the Super Bowl. She did a nice job with that song. To paraphrase Lady Gaga, which we don't do every day on Money Talk, I can think of a million reasons to leave. Just give me one reason to stay. Well, I'll tell you what. One reason to stay in observation of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. One reason to respect, to show respect for the Dow Jones Industrial Average is history. This is the index with all of its flaws, which I'll get to in a moment. This is the index that has history on its side. This is the index that can take you back to what happened starting in September of 1929 when the Dow Jones Industrial Index, which was sky high at the time, in the terms of that time, it was sky high, and it fell 89%. Are you kidding me? Are you making that up? No, I'm not making it up. You can look it up. It's in the book. It fell 89%. Well, we need to know about this history and what happened back then. And look what happened back then. We had the Smoot-Hawley tariffs. We had the Federal Reserve wrong way Fed back then, going the wrong way, tightening monetary policy at a time of financial crisis. They sure learned that lesson. We had everything going wrong back then. Protectionist policies, Smoot-Hawley, wrong way Fed. It was a disaster. 89% on the Dow Industrials. So that's why we continue to observe, because I think that's a fair question. You know, that's a really fair question, because people look at the Dow Industrials today and they say, hey, wait a minute, time out. Time out. Can we talk for just a moment? This is an index that has 30 stocks. 30 stocks. Why do we pay so much homage to this index? And the answer, wait, it's worse than that. Not only does it only have 30 stocks, in addition to that, it is not market weighted. It is not market weighted. That means that the smallest company in the index in market cap has just as much impact on the index as the largest company in the index. And that's ridiculous. Frankly, that is ridiculous as a way to measure the market. And yet we continue to quote the industrials and watch the Dow Jones. And some people quote it like it's the only index in the world, which is pretty silly, but we continue to keep the index up on the board, up on the leaderboard to follow it because of its history. And that is the answer. And if this is on the Money Talk final exam, if we have a Money Talk final exam and this is on the test, this is on the exam, that is your answer. If you want to get this one right, while a lot of people will be wandering off with nonsensical answers, if you want to get this one right, that's the answer. One word. History. Why is the Dow Jones Industrial Average relevant today? One word answer gets an A-plus on that one. History. It goes all the way back. Hey, SP 500 is a way, way, way better index. Now, this is no contest. If this were a prize fight, they would be stopping it in the first round. The S&P 500 is a way better index than the Dow Industrials, but it does not have extreme long-term history. It has history back to the 1950s, and that's good. That tells us about things in the index back to the 50s, but it doesn't go way, way back. And that's the reason the Dow hangs around. And I think that's the reason people still use the Dow. Yeah, it's tradition, but I think the real reason is the history of the index. If you'd like to chime in on America's Money Program, 1-800-934-2221. By the way, this business about Dow 20,000, that has to do with sellers at round numbers. Have you ever wondered? Gee, why, when the Dow got to 20,000, it took a month or a few weeks to get through it? Sellers at round numbers show up. Sellers at round numbers are, they behave exactly the same as the carp at Lake Mead. Have you been to Lake Mead and seen the carp? If you walk out the dock at the marina, at one of the marinas at Lake Mead, this would be a marina toward the southwest side. If you walk out the dock, you will see the carp. Of course, it's made worse because people start throwing food at them, and then they go bananas, totally bananas. They go hyper bananas, like on steroids. And the carp are up there, mouths open, waiting for that next drop. And you know what? It's predictable as the sunrise. Happens every single time. That's what we're talking about here. Round numbers on the Dow, or the S&P for that matter, attract the carp, attract the gang. Oh, 20,000, I have to sell. Oh, 2,000 in the S&P, oh, I have to sell. This has been going on forever at the round numbers, especially the big round numbers like 10,000, 20,000. That's why that happens. And until that selling supply is exhausted and absorbed by the buyers, you get these battles, these paper mache battles that aren't real battles at all. Simply people trying to sell at the round number, and once that's absorbed, it goes through.